Good afternoon. I see there's only one person that has never seen me or heard me. So my name is Dallas Snyder, and I teach a Thursday night class here, which Andy told you, called Prosperity and Abundance, Including Money. And I teach metaphysics. Everything I do is metaphysical. I'm wearing white today, not because of being a metaphysical. I'm wearing white to tell you people that I'm still a virgin.
I'm sorry.
This is my yoga outfit, and I came directly from yoga. So I do yoga every morning. And so I left there. I do it in Glendale, so I came directly here to do it. So anyway, the class, I take over this class when Candace goes out of town or when Candace asks me to do it. So it's a little bit different from her. She, I understand now, does meditation. So you're free to meditate if you want while I'm talking. I do believe in meditation. I think it's a wonderful thing for people to do. I also think that meditation is a passive way of doing something, and I'm more into doing something that's active. You know, you can sit around and meditate about money, but if you don't get off your ass and do something, you're never going to get any money. So I believe in getting out there and putting yourself to work. Is this somebody coming?
She's coming.
Come in. Hello. So the way we do that, to make money or to do anything in life, we have to move. We have a saying in religious science, treat, which means to pray, and then move your feet. You have to get up and do something afterwards. When you do any type of prayer, after you do the prayer, you're the one who has to prove that prayer. God is not going to prove that prayer for you. You have to prove that. You don't have to prove anything to God. You always have to prove things to yourself. Come in. You always have to prove things to yourself. So anyway, with that said, last night we were talking about what we call race mind. Does everyone know what race mind is? Race mind is the consensus of the race. It's many people call it the collective consciousness. And we have to get over that race mind or collective consciousness in order for us to bring something into our lives, because we are stuck in race mind with all the things that the culture, the society, and the world at large has told us. I was listening. I always get up in the morning and I listen to the classical radio station, and the announcer on there was saying that one of the conductors fell and got injured, and he said, of course, he fell on his conducting arm. You get that? Of course, he fell on his conducting arm. Meaning that that's the way it always happens. It's not the way it always happens. But the world will tell you that. And we hear these things constantly. And we let them come right in, and we start to believe them. You see, because he's on the radio. What's he doing? Rhoda was telling me last night that she noticed with talking with people, what did you say about when you have conversations with people, they really don't...
They don't feel worthy of anything good happening to them. If you listen, you'll hear it in almost everything they say.
So you have to listen to people, and you have to listen to yourself. What are you telling yourself all day long?
Wonderful, wonderful me?
Yes. You have to say to yourself, wonderful, wonderful me. You have to know that you're worthy, deserving, and totally lovable at all times. And you have to listen to what people are telling you. You know, I have many people come and tell me what their boss says to them, what this person says to them, and they start to believe all that stuff. You can't allow yourself to do that. You can't allow somebody to talk to you. Anytime that somebody talks down to you, make them stop immediately. They have no right to do that. They have no right to do that whatsoever.
But doesn't that happen when it's like happened to you all your life and you don't even know it?
Well, yes. That's why we have to wake up, become aware, and get out of what we call psychic sleep and just keep going and saying, well, that's the way the world is. That's the way people are. We have that expression all the time, don't we? Well, that's the way people are. Well, who are these people? Aren't we part of these people? You see. And those people that we're talking about, those race mind people, stay away from them. Not everyone thinks that way. Always stay around people that are going to build you up, that are going to say something nice about you. You see, people in the world always want to focus on the bad things and not the good things. If you focus on the good things, they will multiply. If you focus on the idea that you have money, you'll have money. If you focus on the idea that you don't have any money, you won't have any money. Because this universe always responds to what you're doing. It doesn't work independently of itself. It works through you and what you're doing. So you must say to the universe, this is who I am. I know who I am. And I know that I'm worthy, deserving, and totally lovable at every moment. And then things come into your life. Your whole life changes for the better. But it doesn't change for the better when you allow your mind to tell you that you're no good, to tell you that you did something wrong. And we do that to ourselves all the time. We put ourselves down. We don't take credit for anything. When somebody gives you a gift, do you say, thank you very much, more please? Or do you say, oh, you shouldn't have done that? Well, that's too expensive for me. I had a man tell me he gave somebody a watch back. He thought it was too expensive for them to give to him. And he thought that was very grand of him. He thought he had puffed himself up. He thought he was something. I thought he was an idiot. What does that tell you? He, first of all, didn't think he deserved it. But the other thing is, when somebody gives you something, you have to be grateful for that. Otherwise, you take all the pleasure away from them. The whole thing in life is giving and receiving, giving and receiving. And you keep that going. But you stop it immediately when you say, oh, this is too expensive. You shouldn't have done it. Take it back. And that's what the man said. He said, I told him to take it back. You know, did not impress me at all. If the man didn't have the money, he wouldn't have bought the watch. And if he stretched his budget to buy the watch, that's even better, because now he knows he can do it. Now he knows he can do it. Rhoda remembers a story that I told. She just told me this morning. When I was building my prosperity consciousness, you have to stretch your own consciousness to be able to accept prosperity. If you were born into the royal family, you would immediately have a terrific consciousness. You know, here you are living in a palace and here's all this stuff around. You wouldn't have to think about that. But if you're not in that situation, then you have to say, well, would I deserve a palace? No one in my family's ever had a palace. So when I was stretching my prosperity consciousness, I wanted to buy a pair of alligator shoes. At that particular time, those alligator shoes were $550. I walked by them, I don't know, for a couple weeks. Every time I walked by them, I could hear a tape going off in my head with my father's voice saying, who do you think you are? John D. Rockefeller. You can't afford something like that. And don't you already have a pair of shoes? You can only wear one pair at a time. That's what the exact things that my father would say. So anyway, I bit the bullet and I bought them. And when I bought them, it was in Atlanta, Georgia, in Rich's, I think that was Rich's department store. And the man said to me, "Would you like to finance these?" I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, if they're over $500, we can put it on the same thing as we do a refrigerator. And you can pay it off on a certain time." I said, "Terrific. I'll do it." So for years, I called them my refrigerators. But I broke that tape. I broke that tape. Now, today, would I do that? Would I spend that much money on a pair of shoes? Probably not. I don't need that now. But at the time, I needed that. If for nothing else, to stop that tape in my head. You have to do this. You have to see what is playing in my head. We talked last night about who's running your life. Are you living your own life or are you living somebody else's life? If I wouldn't have broke the tape, I would be living my father's life. And I would be taking everything that he said and continuing that. And that's what happens to us in life. Because no one tells us how to actually live. We look around and we repeat what other people are doing. The other thing that we do, because we know no different, is we watch how people react to things, how they control their emotions, how they control their feelings. And we do the same thing. We have been taught that everyone cries or gets sad at a funeral. Is that necessary? Is that necessary? No. I don't suggest you go in there and laugh. But you don't have to get sad. You don't have to repeat these emotions. And then where else do we see these emotions just constantly? On the box, people, the television. You don't learn anything on the television except bad manners. You start to repeat the same thing. And you start to see, oh, well, everyone cheats. This is the way everyone is. Everyone's mean, hateful, and spiteful. That's not true. I don't watch those things. Don't watch that stuff. You have to make up your mind, your own self. How do I want to feel about something? How do I want to react to something? If you're reacting automatically, you're not living your life. You're not living your life. You have to decide, how do I feel? I make this statement all the time. The life of the organism is feelings. And underneath everything, come in. Underneath every story that somebody's telling, there is a feeling. But we use our surface minds, our waking minds, to tell a story. And that's all that is a story. It has nothing to do with anything. Because we've never been taught to go beneath the story and find out how we are feeling about something. And find out how we're feeling about something. Can I use you as an example, young lady?
Which story?
She has many.
Yeah.
Your car story.
Oh, well, I have something really great to tell you about what came out of that. But
oh, good.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Tell us both. Tell us how you were, what, before you were just telling a story, were you not?
Yeah, and you know what, it's funny that, it's not funny, it's what was meant to be today, is that I've learned a lot about myself that I still let my emotions run my life. Instead of sitting back and saying, how do I really feel about it? Just what you just said, how do I really feel about it? Because I realized that for the last 5 months, I've done nothing but let my emotions create a huge drama over my car, instead of just saying, it's a car, and it's going to get taken care of. And it did. you know? So, but instead, I let my emotions just go in and, like, whip up, like Jim Carrey in The Mask, when he turns into the mask, all that just crazy energy. And I just thought to myself, wow. A, I didn't think I was loving, worthy, and deserving. B, I'm still repeating the past. I let my emotions get the best of me. So it really had nothing to do with the car.
Never has anything to do.
It was the story that I live constantly. Instead of, you know, or the side of my father will come up, because that's how my father used to deal with things. Drama, emotion, I'm gonna beat people up, I'm gonna, you know, they're lie, cheat, and steal, and you know, and I love my dad. I wouldn't trade my dad for anything. But I realized that I was acting on behalf of my father, and then sometimes I would act on behalf of my mother, and then I'm just really finding out who I really am. And just like the money, he says too, if you say you have money, you do, you know. When you focus on lack, that's what you keep bringing to yourself. I mean, I've just been having epiphany after epiphany the last 2 weeks that also I am living proof of, be careful what you ask for. Because when it comes, you're like, oh my God, I really am powerful and I really do. And why did I get that so quickly? Oh, because I knew I was loving, worthy, and deserving of it. Whether anybody thinks you are or not, you have to stand in your own on that.
Oh, you never bother with what other people think. It's none of your business what other people think about you. And let's go a little deeper here because of that story. You're still not telling us your feeling.
My feeling on the car accident?
Yes, because you were telling a story.
Yeah.
That was your surface mind.
Right.
And the car had nothing to do with what you were feeling. Yes, you may have been feeling unworthy, non-deserving, and unlovable. But beneath all of that also, there had to be some type of a feeling that you were deserted. Something.
That no one was standing behind
no
me.
No one was, helping you.
No one was helping me. Nobody was listening to me.
Yes, you had to have felt. This is, so you see, the whole thing came from that. You wanted to feel deserving. You wanted somebody to listen to you.
Right, to listen to my story.
No.
No?
Hell no, we all listen to that story.
But of course did I.
I could tell it verbatim. That's only a story.
Oh,
it's a surface story. But
I
we wondered what you would have said, here's how I'm feeling, Dallas. You never once said, this is how I'm feeling.
Right.
You just went on and on and on and on and on with that story.
Right.
Behind every story, behind the surface mind, which we think is life, the story we're telling we think is life. It's not your life, the story. It's the feeling that is the life of the organism. It's your feelings that we are always dealing with. But the world outside and our parents and all never told us about feelings because they talked in stories all the time too. The world talks in stories. It tells you a story. This is how. This is what's going on. This is. Well, how are you feeling about that? We have to drop down. How am I feeling about this? What is my feeling on this? Then the story goes away because the situation clears itself up. You see, as soon as you changed your feeling, you got what you wanted.
Yeah.
But you won't get what you want if you keep the same feeling.
By the way, the agent. They called me this morning. I got the agent. Because I let it all go. I didn't put so much weight on it, you know. I didn't put the story on it.
Well, tell them quickly the lie you told yesterday.
Oh, that I just loved going to auditions for the fun of it. That I just go to have fun.
She didn't care if she got the job or anything. She told them, oh, I'm just here to have fun. Now, that's an out-and-out lie, people. That's an out-and-out lie. You have to see what you're saying to your own self and see what you're saying to the world around you.
Well, it's the act that's back here that sometimes we don't know. And now you're bringing it forefront today, which is great. It's amazing.
Yes. It's called blowing your cover.
Yeah.
It's So you just have to uncover yourself. Once you do that, things come to you. You've got an agent.
Yeah.
If you're out there acting, and most people in here are connected somehow with the industry, and if you go into an audition, they're not listening to what you're saying. That's the lines. They want to see the feeling. Why do you think you get hired? Why do you go to a movie? You go not for the story. You go to watch the feelings that the people are having. And you have to be able to expose yourself and expose your feelings. As soon as you're able to do that, you'll land any part that you want. That's what they want to see, is the feelings. But we're taught to hide our feelings. We're taught to hide the truth. We're taught to say niceties like, oh, I'm just here to audition. I just love auditioning. You see, you can't do that to yourself. Last week was the whole idea that so many people say, oh, I had auditions all day long. And they think that that is the end all be all. But it's great to have auditions, but you want the job. You forget to ask for the part. So you say to the universe, I want auditions. The universe says, okay, I'll give you auditions. And you think, well, I'll hit one of them. Well, no, you won't, because you didn't say you wanted the part. You just said, I wanted auditions. You see, you have to ask for what you want. And you have to be specific in what you want. Once you do that, once you make that decision, this whole universe comes and backs you up in that decision. Backs you up in that decision. Very simple teaching. But we fail to see that, don't we? Because the world at large is very convincing, and it tells you that's not the way it works. And I'm here to tell you, that's the way it works. It's completely opposite of everything that you have ever learned in life. How many people were Boy Scouts? Why do you need all Boy Scouts? What was their motto?
Being prepared.
Well, that was that. God first, others second, self third. I'm here to tell you that it's in reverse. You have to first love yourself before you can love anybody else and before you can love God. Everyone wants to love God. It does no good whatsoever to love God if you don't love yourself. By the way, you don't have to love God, you know. It won't influence God in the least. I could say God doesn't care, but I won't go quite that far. But you can't influence God with your love. Why? Because God is love. God is love. So, but you have to learn to love yourself. Why do you have to learn to love yourself? Because all that you are is God, but you are not all that God is.
I said that today, driving.
So this thing that we call God, this formless thing that we call God, becomes form through you. That's why we also say the creation and the creator are one and the same thing. So now that you know that you're one with God, you have to love yourself. Otherwise, it's a dishonor to the creator. How many people remember, God doesn't make junk? Well, that's absolutely true. That used to be around all the time, didn't it? And that went out. You know the other thing that I never see anymore, is that sign you used to see all the time? Think. Does anyone see that anymore? Remember, it used to be everywhere you'd see the thing, think. Yes, people have given up thinking. But it's through the thinking and it's through your feelings that you will be able to manifest what you want. Now that you know that you're one with God, and you know that God creates, you have to have the same qualities as the person, place, or thing that made you. You have to have those same qualities. Therefore, you are creator. Jesus said, ye are gods, not the God, but gods. And what do we know about gods? Gods create. Therefore, you are able to create your own reality and your own life. And once you start to know that, and once you start to see that most of your life you have created things to complete relationships that have already started. When I say that, I mean your parents. Most people, when they get married, marry their father, they marry their mother. They pick always people with those same qualities. Why? To play out the relationship that has already started. I see this all the time in counseling. I have a person, a young lady. She was married 18 years. She married a man very similar to her father. She always wanted her father and mother to divorce because she hated her father. Well, after 18 years, she finally divorced her husband. She divorced her husband to complete the relationship that her mother could never do. She doesn't know she's done that. She doesn't know she's done that because all these years she never lived her own life. She lived a continuation of her mother's life. Did that strike something over here?
Yeah. We were just talking about that last night, and about how we felt about our parents' marriage. And that's a great thing to think about, is I certainly don't want to continue my mother's life.
Yes. And if you wake up, you won't. Yeah. But if you don't, you will. That's why we can say, the world says, history repeats itself. And it repeats itself because we don't think for ourselves. And we imitate life. Does anyone remember the movie, The Imitation of Life?
Mm-hmm.
Loved that movie. But we're imitating life all the time. Because how do we know what life really is? We looked around and saw what other people were doing. We said, oh, that must be life. That must be the way people do. So I guess I'll do that, you say. I think it's Candace who says, would your life be different if you were raised on the Riviera by two lesbians? Would your life be different? It would, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Because of that influence. So you have to look and see, what have I learned from my parents? Not to put them down or anything, but to make your life better and to be able to change that. Many people are afraid to go against their parents. There's a horrible struggle going on between children and parents all the time. Don't do that to yourself. Make up your own mind and say, this is who I am, and this is the way I want my life to come about. And make your own life. I think it would be very sad to go through life and at the end say, oh my God, I never did live my life. It was somebody else's. I lived up to other people's expectations all the time. Try to live up to your own expectations. What do you want? And then go for what you want, regardless of what it is. Money, relationships, success. You can have any of the things that you want. But you have to see how your life has developed so far, and why did it develop so far? What habits and what opinions and viewpoints have you picked up from your family? How many people here are in the same religion that their family was in? How many people here are in the same political party that your parents were in? Because you take that for granted. I was born, that's what my parents, my whole family's always been this way, so now I'm this way. You know. We don't eat chicken in our family, they say. So they never eat chicken, they never try it. Oh no, we don't do that. You have to see. Now I'm not telling you to give up your religion. But I'm saying look at it. Did you pick it? Or did somebody else pick it for you? Did you pick your politics? Or did somebody else pick it for you and you just took it for granted and became that? Or did you give it some thought and decide to change on your own? You see, we're very lazy as human beings. The mind likes to take the road of least resistance. So if you don't have to think about a religion or politics, there's two things right there out of your life you just take for granted. Well, I don't have to give that another thought. You're saying? Well, we do that constantly. We do that constantly. We learn all these things by habit, by looking at other people. One of my main things is, and I think of this, how do we really know how to have sex? From watching movies, from our parents? Is it really an instinct? Or did we hear from somebody else, have you tried this? Have you done this? How do we really know? Are we just repeating things that other people did? You have to think of those things. Where did you get that idea from? I don't know. But this is every thing in your life you have to think. Is this what I really, I'm thinking? Is this who I really am? Or did somebody just lay this on me? And I just took it in for granted. You'll save yourself a great deal of suffering and anguish if you learn to control your own mind and think your own thoughts instead of somebody else's thoughts. Why do you think we get all tense and upset when somebody, you do something because you think your parents would like you to do that and you don't want to do it anyway, but you do it? The holidays are always a great example of families and so forth because it brings up all the dysfunction in families. But everyone goes through it because why? It's a tradition. I have to go home and suffer through all of this because it's a tradition and we love each other. Take a cruise. Get away. Your parents would probably love it. I'm sure they, oh my God, they're all coming home. I have to cook and do all this and organize all this. Think about it. Do you really want to do those things? Or are you doing them out of tradition? Are you doing them out of obligation? Last night, I had a little saying. I'll try to repeat for you, or I'll paraphrase it. This thing of efforting all the time to do things does not work. It does not work because usually your heart is not in it. You really don't want to do it. You force yourself to do it, and you expect the result to be great. Example, tons of people don't want to go home for the holidays, but they go home for the holidays and they think, well, this year it'll be different. Has it ever been different? All the same stuff came up, didn't it? All the same garbage and stuff came on. Doesn't change. You have to change. But you have to put yourself in to what you're doing. Is this what I really want to do? And that doesn't mean if you're on a job right now that you don't like that you run out and quit that job. It does mean that you do look around for other jobs. But if you have an idea in mind of where you want to go, you will get there by putting yourself into the job that you have now. You see, that's the other choice that you have in life. Excuse me, how many people go to jobs that they don't like? You're too young not to like your job. Why do you do that? Yes, you need the money, you need those things, but you don't have to stay with that. You know where you want to go. You know what you're here for. You know what your career is supposed to be. In the meantime, you're taking a stopgap measure to get to where you want to go. You're not going to be there in the next 30 years or something. So you have to sometimes do those things to get where you want to go so that you have money for food, let's see. But you don't stay on those jobs. I tell this story constantly. I have people that come to me for counseling, and it's usually because they hate their job. And they sit and they tell me how much they hate their job, how much they hate their boss, and that the job is absolutely killing them. And I say to them, why don't you quit? Quit! I stay with that job because of the health benefits. They're going to use them, aren't they? They're going to use them. Job's killing them, but they'll stay with it because of the health benefits. Don't do that to yourself. Life's too short for that kind of stuff. There's always a job, and there's always a better job. What do we know from this teaching?
Pause it.
We're what?
Always moving.
Oh, we're always moving from our good to our greater good.
You have to know that. That you're always moving from your good to your greater good. That you're always moving from glory to greater glory. You cannot say all that I am is gone, but I am not all that God is, and say I'm stuck. God does not go backwards. God moves forward. If you're part of that, you have to move forward also. And in your life, you have seen this. Hasn't things gotten better? You don't like your job, but you're making more on that job than you made on your last job, are you not?
Health benefits kick in.
Good, hardy way, yes. Please, everyone, allow health benefits to dictate your life. You know, we joke about that, but I'm very serious. That is complete race mind. That is complete race mind, especially in this country. The government, the pharmaceutical companies, the insurance companies, and the American Medical Association are in cahoots, and they're telling you you're going to fall apart at any moment, and you better buy one of their products. If you buy one of their products and make them very wealthy, perhaps you won't fall apart. Why don't you know that you're not going to fall apart? Why don't you know that there's no such thing as disease in the mind of God? There's no such thing as illness in the mind of God. That you can stay healthy throughout your entire life. Now you have to make choices then. You may have to exercise, you may have to eat well, you may have to stop all the drinking and smoking and all that stuff. You may have to do that. But the world's not going to tell you, race mind's not going to tell you to do that, because they want you to buy a pill. They want you to say it's all right to eat all the sweets you want. When you get diabetes, we have a pill to cure that. So eat every damn donut you can get your hands on. And don't worry, because we have a gigantic pill that you can chew on the rest of your life. You have a question?
I actually do.
Yes.
Hi, read minds. I have a question about the last few years. I've done a lot of work in shifting my life and bringing forth what I want and loving my job and, you know, all those things. The thing is, I have a huge debt hanging over me from the last few years that have incurred when I wasn't in this place. And I don't know quite how to, I'm working through the fear and the shame of it and things like that. I've learned how to manage my money. I've set up a system, you know, all those things. I'm feeling really confident in that. But I have this huge debt. And I'm not certain how to feel about it or how to manifest something. Do I manifest not paying it? Or do I manifest being able to pay it? Like, how do you see that?
All right, first of all, you get rid of all shame and guilt. There's no shame and guilt over a debt, people. Years ago, if you walked into a room and you said to somebody, I was bankrupt, you clear the room. No one wanted to be around anybody that irresponsible. Today, you walk in and say, I went bankrupt, and they go, oh, I did too.
Yeah.
Because our system has changed. Money has changed. Credit cards came in. Credit cards are a very devious thing made by race out there, because they constantly tell you that it's all right to use these cards and how easy it is to use them. I get them in the mail all the time. You deserve a vacation. Here, take a credit card. Your credit's so good, we're going to up your credit. Da 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 da, because they want me to spend all this credit, you see. Get rid of the fear. You didn't do anything wrong that thousands and hundreds of thousands of other people didn't do. Mm-hmm. Now you say that you sat down and you came up with a plan and you're paying that off.
Well, I'm not paying it off yet. I've gotten myself to a place where I'm earning money, but it's enough to have my life that I'm having, but not to pay off that big debt. And part of the debt is to the IRS, so that's where I'm having.
Why? You don't want to pay the Internal Revenue Service?
I do. I just can't pay the amount that they're asking for, even monthly.
But you can always bargain with the IRS. And they're very, you have to first of all realize, you hear horrendous stories about them. Get that out of your head. Know that they're there to help you. Tell them, this is what I can do, and this is how much I can pay you every month. And you come up with a plan. You send them the plan, and they will agree to that. And then that debt will go down and down. In the meantime, you see that debt going down, and you see your income getting higher and higher and higher.
So my focus now should be on just bringing in more income, bringing in.
Yes. And you will bring in more money immediately if you start to pay that off. Mm. Your good is being withheld from you because you're not paying off the debt that you have. And it's not God or the universe holding that back. You're holding that back from your own self, because you have not made an effort to pay off the bill. As soon as you make an effort to pay off the bill, more money will come to you automatically from where, I do not know, but I will tell you, once you make that effort, then it comes to you. but it will not, because your mind now is stuck there. Mm-hmm. You see? Mm-hmm. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
As soon as you make one effort to start paying that off, your whole life will change. The fear will go away. The worry and concern will go away, because you've done. You've taken the action. Instead of sitting around thinking about it or meditating on it, you've taken an action. And then you say, oh, look how good I am. Oh, I just love myself. I'm paying off a bill. Ooh, that makes me feel so good to pay off that bill. And then you do affirmations. Money is always freely circulating in my life, and I always have a divine surplus. All my bills are paid on or before time. Every time I go to the mailbox, I find checks.
I do that now, and it's working for my monthly. I just don't include the bill, the debt that I haven't been paying.
Yes.
So
you have to
advice.
Include that.
I've been secretly hoping it
right.
would just go away.
And then
it
you,
didn't.
it will not go away. In fact, it'll get larger.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, get rid of the word huge. You say, you have a debt, but you don't say that. You told me you had a huge debt.
Yeah, because to me it looks just overwhelming.
Yes, it looks overwhelming. Now, what do you think behind that story? What is the feeling?
Not deserving, scarcity. Deserving.
Lack and limitation, scarcity, not deserving. So as soon as you start paying it, you work on that feeling.
Yeah.
And when you change that feeling, you open up everything to come into your life. And it'll make you feel so good. Being debt-free and being able to pay your bills is an absolutely wonderful feeling. And you keep doing that till you have no bills. And to where money is always freely circulating in your life. You see, money is never the issue. It's what you're thinking about money. And it's the resentment. You don't like the government all that well.
I didn't think about the government. I was too concerned with, oh my God, I finally got money. Spend it before someone takes it. You know, spend it.
The government.
Because they've never had it. And that's, yeah.
But you see, that's not fair, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Now you don't have to you don't have to deny yourself anything.
But I've had that belief.
But you had that belief.
Yeah.
That you had to deny yourself something. Work a system out with them. Pay them $50 a month. Pay them anything. They'll accept what you do. Don't be afraid of the government. Don't be afraid of the IRS ever. The people are afraid of it. They're the ones who get into all kinds of trouble with it. But try it and do it, and you'll see all the difference in the world.
Yeah. I waited till the last, you know, till it was too late. And that's where I'm at. It's just like, oh, no. Like, and it feels like it's going to be a whole 7-year ordeal and things like that. And I just...
Well, don't do that to yourself. It doesn't have to be a 7-year-old deal. And you never say that you waited too long. You only have the now to do anything
with.
So that all that stuff makes no difference whatsoever. What makes a difference is that you take an action.
Yeah.
And you start to pay that off.
Even when I took the action to just open the bills, my life shifted.
Yes.
When I took the action to meet with somebody and get educated, my life shifted again.
Yes.
Like, so I totally get that. It's just going that... Now that extra stuff, though, starting to pay it off and believing that I can.
And I think you should pat yourself on the back and be very proud of yourself that you were able to tell us that. You see, most people will not tell you that they have a bill of any type, because we've been taught as children that that is a wrong thing to have a bill. Don't be afraid of it. Do it all the time. And that's how it works. Get yourself clear on all those things. And you won't always have to be honest, because you're always building your own consciousness. You're building your own character all the time. No one else is doing that but you. And you have to live with yourself. And you have to like yourself. Now, before we close, we'll go back to God first, other second, and self third. What happens there? You know, everyone wants to be loved. So they rush out and they meet somebody. And that person says, I love you. And you think, ha ha, finally, I've just entered heaven. This is grand. And the relationship falls apart. The relationship falls apart because it doesn't matter how much people love you. If you don't love yourself, the relationship will not work. It will not work. You have a black hole in you, and you think somebody's going to fill that black hole. Only you can fill that hole by learning to love yourself. Everything that comes into your life comes into your life because you love yourself. Every time you love yourself more, things come into your life. More things come into your life. They will not come into your life while you are doubting that you're lovable. You have to get rid of that idea. So it doesn't matter how many people. You see, it doesn't resonate inside of you. I can say to somebody, oh, I think you're absolutely beautiful, and I absolutely love you. And if that person doesn't think they're beautiful, and that person doesn't love themselves, they're going to say, well, he's full of you-know-what. And how many times have you got a compliment from somebody, and you could not accept that compliment because you didn't believe it? You thought, oh, they're just putting me on. You see, you have to believe it. If you don't believe it, anything anyone tells you just rolls off of you. So you have to know in your own mind that that compliment, you see, belongs to you. When somebody gives me a compliment, I always say, thank you very much. Thank you for noticing. Thank you for noticing. And that's what people are noticing when they give you a compliment. They're noticing something about you. But you don't notice it because you didn't allow it to be for yourself. You have to do that, people. Life is an inside job. And it's a do-it-yourself project. You have to do it. And once you do it, life gets better and better and better. Are there any questions? No? Am I that clear?
Yes.
It's a simple teaching, people. It's a simple philosophy, whatever you want to call it. It is not a religion. People have tried to make it into a religion. It's a philosophy that people do religiously. Therefore, they think it's a religion. It is not a religion. But then we can make anything a religion. You see.
Can you repeat those money affirmations that you said?
Absolutely.
Money circular.
Oh, I can do them. I can do them slow or fast. How would you like them?
Slow.
Money is always freely circulating in my life, and I always have a divine surplus.
Surplus.
Money is always freely circulating in my life. All my bills are paid on or before time. Now, the way you make that work, people, is when you get a bill, you immediately sit down and pay it. You don't let it pile up on your desk to the end of the month and you have all these bills and your mind goes, oh my God, I'll never be able to get through all this. Once you start to do that, all of a sudden, all your bills will be paid on or before time. When I said earlier, when you do a prayer, when you do anything, then you have to back that up. If you do an affirmation, all my bills are paid on or before time, and you just keep saying that and do nothing about it, it's not going to work. If you say that and a bill comes in, you sit down and immediately pay it. And before long, that just is going like this, and it doesn't matter if you didn't make any more money. You'll notice, my God, look at these bills. They're all paid. People who haven't been in the class, you've been coming to my class. You do not know God bless and multiply this money quickly, do you? Write that down. God bless and multiply this money quickly. Now, you just use the first things. God, G. You just use the first letters. And that comes out to what?
G, B, A, M, T, M,
Q.
Q.
Why did we add quickly to that?
Pardon?
Why did we add quickly to that?
I added quickly to that about 20 years ago because I wanted money to come in quickly.
Sometimes
you
put an N behind it. Now.
I have another person who called and told me she added V to it very quickly, and she said, ever since I've done that, Dallas money just keeps pouring.
Ooh,
I started this practice 30 years ago.
Just for clarification, you didn't say where you put that.
Oh, yeah. You put that on your check, on the memo part. God bless and multiply this money quickly. Are you giving those away? That you took several last night too.
I took one.
We don't care.
And it disappeared.
That's abundance. Go. Anyway, yes.
Many years ago, somebody at work shared with me this affirmation, I guess it is, and she showed me that on the first of every month you write a blank check to yourself, paid in full by the law of abundance, where your signature goes.
Yes.
Did it for a while, forgot about it until I was cleaning out some junk and I found an old one. But also in the memo part, she had said you write LBX, and I have never understood what that meant.
I don't either.
Okay.
What did she put in the memo part?
LVX.
Love something.
Love and kisses.
X.
But anyway, put it. For 30 years I've been doing it, and when I started it 30 years ago, since then I've never run out of money. And many times I have been out of work. Many times there has been no money seemingly available. And I put it in the memo part. And sometimes I get the reactions. My accountant said to me, for years now I've seen that, what the hell does it mean? And I told him what it means. You use it, don't you, Andy?
I use it.
Yes. And it you probably use it too, don't you? And you see, doesn't money come? Ha ha ha. Roll it. Yes. See, money is never the issue, people. Mm-hmm. Money is an idea. Mm-hmm. And that's all money is. I guess it's time to quit.
That first one more time, if you would. Money is freely circulating
money
in my life.
Money is always freely circulating in my life, and I always have a divine surplus.
I left out the word always.
And my income is higher than my outgo.
Oh, always. That's little Christine who does that one. You can do it, can't you?
What?
Income.
Oh, my income is higher than my outgoing.
Yes. My income is always higher. Now you do that just because when that's emotion and there's something about the connection with the mind and all. When you do two things, it's like, you know, smoking is not just one habit, it's several habits. It's reaching for the cigarette, it's doing all that, but your mind immediately is, my income is higher than my outgo. You start to do that. And has not Christine cleaned up all her bills?
Yes.
Are there any other questions?
Oh, tell her what you told us last night. You are your money.
Oh, you're always your money. Goodbye. You're always your money. What you think about yourself is your money. The more you think about yourself, the more money that you will have. You are always your money. Help you?
Yes, I'm having money.
Pardon?
Uh-oh.
What did you say? No, you didn't. What did you say?
Yeah. I said, well, I have no money, so.
All right.
So that's what you're thinking about yourself.
I'll just take 1 minute. You may never say that you have no money. At the present moment, money may not be circulating in your life, but you have money, and I can prove that. Do you have a penny in your pocket?
I have a penny in my wallet.
Does she have money?
Yes.
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 Never tell your mind that you don't have money. Never. And you can go home and find it under the cushions. But you always have money, people. The truth is that money is always freely circulating in your life, and that you always have a divine surplus. The fact is, at the moment, it does not appear that way. Facts change. Truth always remains the same. You get it?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.